This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An incrinculant mailbag this week. Limits. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can get a hold of my tiny friend here by going on the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So why don't Mark and I go through the mailbag? Hold on, I'm having a coughing attack.
All right, Joe, let's do that. What is the most fascinating thing that was asked in the mailbag this week? I wonder. There's NFL legal tampering that is going on. There's March Madness that's coming up. Steeler quarterback news is always prevalent. Maybe an RMU basketball question thrown in there. We're going on Thursday.
Nope, none of that. But I'll tell you what was in here was this. If the Steelers, this is from Bobby. If the Steelers end up with Justin Fields and Derek Carr, who starts? I said it has to be Fields at the beginning. Because why would he come back here if he's not guaranteed pole position? Of course, wouldn't he seek a better option? Of course, that raises another question. Is there any team in the NFL willing to guarantee Justin Fields at least pole position in training camp? Anybody? That's my question right now. But if he has even one other option where they're telling him, you're going to be our guy, and the Steelers aren't necessarily saying that, then he's going to go, right?
Yeah, I think it's plausible. I mean, depending on how much he likes the situation here. And, I mean, I wonder with the chatter, like, how much he'll talk and say, like, what is the likelihood that you will pick a quarterback in the first or second round? Like, if I'm Justin Fields, I'm asking the Steelers that. Now, how much of an answer you're going to get, that might be a completely different story.
Well, what about Derek Carr? Derek Carr, to me, is Kirk Cousins in a different helmet. I mean, he's a guy that rolls up numbers, but there's something unquantifiable that's missing. It's just missing. This guy's got, the last 2 years, he has 40 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions in 27 starts, but the numbers just don't add up to a guy that you look at and say, he's the guy that's going to take me to a championship, or in this case, even to a playoff win.
Not at all.
Come to think of it, him and the Steelers might be the perfect match. Derek Carr's never won a playoff game. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game since 2016. How old were you then?
2016?
Yeah.
I would have been 14 turning 15. I was a sophomore in high school the last time they won a playoff game.
Somebody should tell the national media that the Steelers haven't been competitive in a single playoff game since 2016. And then Derek Carr, he's only played in one. Now, is he just a victim of being on bad teams, or is part of that him? You just have to wonder. It reminds me of Eric Carlson. It doesn't seem like a coincidence that Eric Carlson's never won anything of significance in his NHL career. He didn't exactly seem broken up over one of the worst blunders we've ever seen in the National Hockey League the other day in a bitter loss to the Maple Leafs. I don't know. There's something, again, with Carlson where you just wonder, the numbers are great, but what do they add up to when it comes to winning?
I've just never been a huge Derek Carr fan, and I heard Doran on the morning show today say that he heard that Derek Carr is going to possibly retire, which I think is fascinating. And if that is the case, there's no other competition for Justin Fields to go to New Orleans. I thought it was a foregone conclusion that the Saints were just going to move off of Derek Carr. You know, like, it's just, He's just kind of there, like, all right, Derek Carr's our quarterback. We'll win six games. Okay.
Yeah, man. It's almost like a game. It's like a game show. It's if you're Fields and Wilson and the timing of it also, you got to time it right. You know what I mean? Like, are the Steelers overplaying their hand right now? Are they just assuming that one of these guys is coming here? And what if they don't? What if they're making a bad assumption there? What if they both find something else they like more, and then it becomes a game, you know, of musical chairs? Like, am I going to get a spot? Should I take the first offer that comes along that at least gives me a shot if you're Justin Fields? Should I take what I have already with the Steelers, no matter what they do in the draft, or get another quarterback? Did I show enough there where I believe Mike Tomlin thinks I can be his guy, even without that, you know, 100% assurance? What do you do if you're him? You know, that a lot of quarterbacks who aren't the guy anywhere right now have to answer that question. What's my best move if I don't get one single team to tell me I'm the guy? Then what? Excuse me, Limits.
Then you're just up the creek without a paddle if you're the Steelers. I mean, I'm getting to that
point.
Are
you, or would it be best if neither one of those guys came back and you got an Aaron Rodgers or a Derek Carr or drafted somebody? I'm not so sure they're up the creek. That's the other side of that.
Well, from what I think their options, they want their options to be. They want either Wilson or Fields. If both decide to leave.
That's what they're saying publicly.
True.
Yes.
I was thinking about this earlier today. If both leave, I would be completely fine with bringing in an Aaron Rodgers, and if it falls flat, it falls flat, and you're exactly where you need to be. Now, we know the whole Mike Tomlin, it's just not going to happen, non-losing season thing, whatever. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers would come here and be entertaining. Maybe he has something left in the tank.
Well, there's one thing about Aaron Rodgers that would play here, is that he's the all-time champion of not turning the ball over, and that's music to Mike Tomlin's ears. A man named Joe Custer, I call him General Custer, for obvious reasons. Who had or has more interest in playing defense, Eric Carlson or Phil Kessel? Which is a tremendous question. I said it's the toughest I've faced in years, General Custer. I'm sitting here weighing pros and cons and remembering things about Phil Kessel, and it's a tough one. I compare it to myself and my interest in things like physics or algebra, like literally. If there was something to measure these things by, a gauge, I would have had less than no interest, less than none in topics like that. And that's where these two guys are with defense. Just none. Zero. But as a tiebreaker, I went with Carlson based on that unfathomable gaffe the other day against the Maple Leafs. A blind pass at the offensive blue line that gives them a breakaway and a goal with 0.1 seconds left. I mean, you almost have to admire it. It was a piece of art. So I'm going to give him the tiebreaker right now on who's less interested in defense, or who was when you include Kessel and Carlson, who has to lead the league in assists on opponent breakaway goals. Does he? I mean, it's almost like they're design plays with this guy.
I just cannot believe the play that he made with the little back pass at the blue line.
It was a piece of art. If everything doesn't work out, literally to the millisecond, that goal doesn't happen. He put it right on the dude's stick in stride.
It looked like Neil O'Donnell in Super Bowl 30. Just a completely targeted pass the other team could take away.
We have phone calls right now on what?
We do, on the quarterback situation. Somebody wants Aaron Rodgers here.
We'll take those in a moment. I'm in the middle of a mailbag here, Limits, and I don't want to be interrupted. I want to hear your answer to the next one. This was interesting. Joel Alexander, how familiar are local sports journalists with the actual scouts that the Steelers employ? They seem to be rather anonymous, yet play such a key role. Their wide receiver scouts seem to be some of the best. Who are their quarterback evaluators for the future? To which I answered, generally, I don't know that they break it down specifically by position. I think it's more areas of the country and, you know, things like that. I don't know if they have wide receiver scouts Limits. But as far as who their quarterback evaluator is, well, lots of them. But in the end, the guy making the decision is one man. And that's Mike Tomlin. That was my first point. My second point was, when you look at the football personnel roster, for better or worse, it truly is a family affair. Their director of college scouting is Dan Colbert, Kevin's son. Dan Rooney Jr. is the vice president of player personnel. Casey Weidel, Andy's younger brother, is the scouting coordinator. And of late, another member of the Rooney family tree, Anthony, is a scouting intern. Oh. It's basically a family reunion in the scouting department.
Don't forget about the Hayward family. They're also a big part of the roster. Remember, the Edmonds family was here at running back. Termaine Edmonds and Terrell Edmonds and all the other
Edmondses. Well, this is a little more interesting to me because, I mean, you're hiring a lot of people in your football operations department who are relatives. I don't know if that's, is that good? Is that bad? I don't know.
Well, I think one perspective on that could be, like, we talk a lot about, you know, do the Steelers need a consultant, someone from like the outside of like the organization, the building, the family, to be able to just tell them the true honesty that maybe like we are seeing from our chairs.
Right.
With that type of instance, you don't get that because it's all in the family, like you said.
A man named Kirk, is there any way we become competitive in anything in the next 5 years, or should we just be comfortable basking in the glory of the olden days? I said to him, are you speaking of all teams, Captain Kirk, or just one of them? Because you could be asking that about virtually any one of our teams. And I pointed out that 5 years is a long time, so any of them could conceivably bounce back during that time frame or not. But here's the problem. The Penguins need a full-on rebuild. No more of this half-and-half crap. The Steelers need a franchise quarterback. The Pirates need Bob Nutting to spend more on players. And Pitt football and basketball either need more money or new coaches or both. So we're kind of in a bad way here because those are pretty big things that each team needs, correct?
Yeah, pretty substantial. And it doesn't seem like Pitt. I think Pitt might be in the worst position out of any of them at the moment.
Why? What sport? Just both?
Yeah, I mean, I think football, with the way that the landscape of college football is going with NIL, Pitt is also in a... I mean, the ACC is not a bad conference, but the SEC and the Big Ten just have so much power.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's going to be so hard for Pitt to be able to overcome that. And, I mean, maybe they're trying to expand the playoff and everything and make it different with 14 teams, two ACC teams would get in. But Florida State and, what is it, Miami, Clemson, they're talking about legislation with the ACC. They're trying to get the fair and proper money that they want, and there's going to be a deal that's made between the ACC and those schools to get them more money.
Yeah.
I mean, Pitt is just in a really tough spot right now for football there.
Well, basketball too. And Jeff Capel spoke about this in the Post-Gazette today. Stephen Thompson, ACC's perception, performance problems rooted in money. So you had Capel talking about this. He's finally acknowledging that the ACC is down. And it seems very obvious at this point. And he talks about the other conferences spending more. And within the ACC, he talks about Louisville spending more. So I'm a little bit sort of two minds with these comments. On one hand, it is true that this is pro sports. You largely get what you pay for. On the other hand, you kind of have to make do with what you have sometimes. And you got to spend the money you have on the right players. Did Pitt basketball do that? I think we could have an argument about that. And also, when you hear Capel talk about this, part of me reads it like it's, I'm not the problem here. The problem is we need to pay more for players. Is he right about that? Or is he trying to escape blame? I think that's a legitimate question.
I think a little bit of both can be fair. Like, Capel, coming into this season, and I like Jeff Capel a lot, like, we knew that this was the most, one of the most talented Pitt teams of the Jeff Capel era. Maybe the most talented team that he had. You could argue last year because they had a guy that went in the lottery with, you know, how the success that Bob Carrington had. But this year, like, they have not been able to put it together, whether that's injuries, down the stretch, and part of that is just Capel's job coaching in the last 10 minutes.
Well, the Dunn injury definitely had a profound effect on the team, no doubt. But I also think Capel is indicting himself there by saying, yeah, there's a couple teams. Well, he pointed to Louisville, which is ranked 14th now. and how they've turned it around. And Capel said they had to pay well to get this team, which has a lot of experience and talent from the transfer portal, as Steven writes. But aren't you then saying the rest of us are kind of in the same boat in the ACC? Okay, if you're in the same boat as far as NIL, at least a lot of you are, then why aren't you doing better? Because forget about how the ACC stacks up with other conferences. How is Pitt doing if their payroll, so to speak, is similarly situated to a lot of teams in the ACC?
Well, I think the main difference is, like, Duke stands on its own, Carolina stands on its own. I still think Louisville, because that is just such a huge brand in Kentucky.
All right, that's three. What place is Pitt in?
10th, 11th
there,
right now.
There you go.
It should still be higher. Like, they should be competing with the likes of Wake Forest, Syracuse, and, I mean, those teams are also down this year. But it's a huge part of, and I think, why the SEC has risen in basketball, because the SEC dominated for years. And now it's the SEC with Auburn, Alabama, whatever. I wonder if that's partly because now that NIL is a legal thing, they're just shelling out money like they do in football. Now the basketball players in the SEC can thrive.
Yeah, find a way to win with what you got is what I would say, at least within the confines of your own conference. Finally, we have Christian Svobotka, I believe is the name. Which Pittsburgh team has been the biggest disappointment of 2024/25. So I said, all right, we're talking about the 24 Steelers, the 24 Pitt football team, and the 24 Pirates. And then we're talking about the current Penguins, 24-25, and the current Pitt basketball team. So which of those is the biggest or has been the biggest single disappointment, oh limitless wonder?
What a question that is.
A great question.
Especially all the collapses that were had.
Has every one of those teams collapsed at least once? I think so.
Yeah.
Steelers certainly did. The Penguins around the Penguins, their whole season's been a collapse. The Pirates collapsed in August. Pitt was 7-0 and collapsed. And the Pitt basketball teams lost 10 of 14. It's been the year of the collapse.
I think basketball, because the expectations were, and at one point they were a 6 seed. By a lot of projections, to be in the tournament. The Steelers, I expected to go 10-7. They did. The Penguins, I didn't think would make the playoffs. They're not. And Pitt football, my expectations were 7-5. Unfortunately, that's where it ended up being, right around that area. So probably basketball. I did not see them missing the tournament coming.
Yeah, me neither.